Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Brought us any more takeaways from the Ravens game and guys that stood out to you and guys that have given themselves a chance to maybe sneak onto this roster?
Yeah, you know, there were some guys that, again, on all the platforms we are on, probably have heard a couple of names being mentioned. I know we do it, you know, Krusty's Corner on the G-Bag Nation, 340 every day. We kind of get into that. And the things that I was kind of noticing was a guy like Damone Clark. You also talk about what Booth was able to do. These are guys that needed to play well. They needed after what happened in the Rams game, they needed a good game, and this team is going to rely on some down the line players, and especially with what's going on at cornerback. You know, has Booth put himself in position where he could be a guy that they're probably going to use him. They're probably going to use him, but, you know, how much are they going to use him? And can they rely on him? I know Zach Wolchuk, we all kind of went through his 53-man roster, and I'll do the same here coming up and try and piece this thing together the best we can. But Zach didn't have him on his 53-man roster. I thought he played well enough. It's very much, we talk about these players, and we all as Cowboy fans remember with Chido Awuzie, what he used to do, and how he would get very close and be in position but not make plays. And there's some elements to Booth's game that's very similar to that. But in this game against the Ravens, he was able to make plays, and he needed to make plays. And they need to have some confidence in him. I don't know if he's put himself in position to be a mainline contributor, but he's put himself in position to make this team. And with the injuries that they have had at corner, they're going to need some guys to have to step up. And so we'll see how that works for him. The Clark one I mentioned was really, really key for, you know, he had been practicing really, really well in the Oxnard portion of practices. He'd been good. He'd shown awareness. He'd shown the ability to be physical. He runs the football. I was super impressed with the way he practiced, and then played in the Rams game and laid a big damn egg, you know, and that's kind of where that's been Damone Clark's problem. You know, he could practice very well and then get in the game and lack instincts, lack finish, lack awareness, play poorly in space. These are all things that he kind of dealt with throughout his career. But in that the Ravens game, he was much, much better there. I think Shamar James, the other linebacker, showed up really, really well in this game. He's a guy that coming out of Florida, not a lot of instincts, but he's been playing with much better instincts. You know, he was kind of a guy that, you know, was just a blitzer, a run tackle guy. They're playing him in coverage. He's looking pretty good at doing that. I think Jay Toia, the defensive tackle, I've been on with Vach Lombardi on our show and talked about this, and we've gone through it I think Jay Toia, I just start him. I think he's your starting one technique. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that, you know, and Mozzie didn't have, not all of Mozzie's reps were poor. There were some of them where, you know, he's going to struggle, but there's times where he was able to hold up. I think JT held up well. And that's the things that allow linebackers to run and make plays. Mm-hmm. If you go back and you look at, you know, on NFL.com, if you get the All-22, you'll see guys holding up blocks, and you'll see linebackers run into the play. And that's what this defense is going to be all about. It's going to be about fits, and it's going to be about running into the football. And when they bust fits, they're going to have problems with run defense. But for the most part, linebackers and defensive line the other day, I thought held up pretty well for the team, even though, like I say, the Ravens had a couple guys gain 60 yards, but it was the run defense, to me, there were elements to it where I'm like, okay, if they play it this way, they're capable of not letting somebody run the ball on them.
How about when it comes to some of the wide receiver stuff, and just to give you an update on a few things from practice yesterday at the Star, you had Trayshon Holden had 3 catches. Mm-hmm. You had Luke Schoonmaker leaving with an injury and did mm-hmm. not return. So we're going to have to work to figure out what the deal is with him. You had Rivaldo Fairweather get some first-team work after Schoonie left. He actually had 3 catches. So I wonder what the status is of Schoonie here on the roster. You had McQuamu playing a lot more safety. Mozzie Smith began with the first-team unit. As much as I agree with you on the Toyea stuff, Mozzie was still getting the first-team reps with the defense last night. And then Nick Harris described it as a mixed bag at slot corner with Kamon Hall and Zion Childress. Childress, a guy that has become a bit of a fan favorite here at the nickel spot. Just love his physicality, his willingness to tackle. And he's got a quick trigger on him, man. When he sees it, he goes in, and he's not afraid to throw his body around, which is hugely important for the nickel cornerback spot. And when we can factor in just how important it is for this Cowboys run defense, I think he's going to be a guy that can help you there. And I'm guessing he's going to be the starting nickel corner when we get to Filthy on Thursday night. But that's kind of the rundown of where things were in practice last night. And I know a guy like Ryan Flannoy really showing up in the preseason games, offensively and on special teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think Ryan Flannoy will be the guy that takes the workload for Mingo being out for a few weeks. I think Flannoy will be that guy. He's a big body guy. We've seen him block in the running game on the edge. He shows up on special teams. He does a better job of actually blocking and putting himself in position to get blocks than, say, a guy like Tolbert. But there's nobody. We could be talking about Ryan Flannoy having one of the best camps, a top 10 kind of a camp, if you will, if Joe Milton would have just found him in games. There were times when Ryan Flannoy was open. There were times when Ryan Flannoy could have made big, big plays. He was not rewarded for the effort and the way that he played in these preseason games like he should have been. We'd be talking about, well, who are your 5 receivers? Flannoy would be one of these guys. But like I say, with Mingo being down, they're going to have to kind of figure some things out there. I think Flannoy is that guy. I think it's going to come down to maybe the last position will come down to with Holden and then Brooks to see, who that is. And will they carry 5 or will they carry 6? They might have to go long in a position like in the secondary just because of all the injuries they're dealing with.
Yeah, and you've heard Brian Schottenheimer talk about, like, hey, there's going to be some surprises here when you start talking about who makes the 53, who doesn't. Does anybody come to mind for you that you feel like, hey, this is a surprise? The James Houston stuff, like, that's a guy who feels like he's earned a spot on this team as an edge rusher. Could Sam Williams be on the chopping block? Could Peyton Turner be on the chopping block on the defensive line? Those are some of the guys that come to mind for me, because then what else does James Houston need to do? He's been your best pass rusher.
He has. He's done a really nice job. I would keep an eye on this Ernest Brown, number 51, who's been playing defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. If you want a surprise, potential surprise guy on the 53-man roster.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Ernest Brown, who's been playing, he's listed as a defensive end, but he plays really as a defensive tackle. We talk about guys holding up blocks and stuff like that. He's been a guy that has been noticeable doing that. And if you said, hey, Broadus, give me a guy, give me somebody we haven't talked about and all that. I believe this is the first time on the Love of the Star where we've talked about Ernest Brown. But I would not be surprised with what's going on at defensive tackle that maybe that this guy gets an opportunity, at least initially.
Pretty amazing. He's listed at 6'5", 270.
Yeah. He's been playing tackle, and he's actually playing when, you know, been pretty active that way. I mean, they've got a group of guys that are not the biggest, you know, up front, with the exception of JT. They're really not that big. And so the way they're going to have to play their front, we've talked about this a bunch, it's going to be about movement. It's going to be about gaps. It's going to be about being able to play assignments. And like I said, when this team is bad on assignments and they guess and try and make something, you know, make something happen by guessing, they're going to get gashed on the run. But when they play it the right way, you can see it on tape how it works with a penetrator, a fill, and an over-the-top player. That's how they're going to have to play run defense this year. It's going to be about, it's not time for hero ball. It's like if you're an A-gap player, you go be an A-gap player. If you're a B-gap player, you go be a B-gap player. You take on, you fill gap, and then you make the back have to make a decision from there. But you make decisions for your backs really, really easy if you're Mozzie Smith or any of these guys, and all of a sudden you shoot the gap or you go, you try and do something you're not supposed to do. And now it puts, I mean, Sam Williams, and one of the first things Sam Williams did in early in the game is he shot the gap, did a great job. That was his responsibility. And then there was another time where he shot the gap, probably not supposed to shoot the gap the way they played it. And then all of a sudden you see Clark has to cover not only his gap, but the gap that Sam Williams vacated. So that's what this team's going to have to deal with. It's going to be an all year process of when they play good run defense, you'll be able to see it on film, how they're playing it.
Yeah. That's the amazing thing with when it comes to playing defense, especially in that front seven, from a pass rush standpoint, all it takes is one guy to be able to make the play. One guy can be the difference in a pass rush situation for the positive for the defense. On the flip side, defensively, all it takes is one guy to step wrong, overcommit, whatever it is, be in the wrong place, and one guy can ruin a great situation on the run defense, and then all of a sudden, bang, you give up a huge play.
You could see it. You could see when they're playing, you could get a really good example if you go back and watch the Rams game of how bad playing out of position can affect the run defense. But then you can watch the Ravens game where there's times where Ali, the back, is going to try and attack. Well, they had a third and one, and Jack Sanborn makes a tackle in the hole because they get defensive linemen hold up two blockers. Nobody gets to Sanborn, and he steps up in his gap, and he takes Ali on, and now it's instead of third or first down, it's fourth and one, and Harbaugh decides to punt the ball. That's what they're going to have to do. It's going to be really simple, folks. When you watch the Cowboys play, it's not going to be about, hey, look at the defensive tackle. Boy, he's bad in this thing. It is going to be about assignment football. They're just not big enough. They are not. Now, we'll see what happens with, you know, when they get Murray in back at the linebacker spot. We haven't seen him play a whole hell of a lot. You know, he's been a guy that's kind of, what are you going to get from Kenneth Murray here? He kind of saw a little bit of Sanborn the other day. That's encouraging. We've seen a little bit of Leofau. That's encouraging. You know, is Clark better than Leofau? Are they going to try and put bigger body? You know, sometimes Leofau, he'll guess and he'll put himself out of position, but he'll also make some really incredible plays. But seriously, folks, it is not going to be hard to figure out what is wrong. If Dallas is playing bad run defense, you will see it and you will understand, like, oh, okay, that's why. It's not always going to be about the size. It's going to be about the assignments and doing jobs. And if that doesn't happen, you know, we're probably not going to have Mozzie Smith to kick around anymore. You know, it's going to be about that you know, Solomon Thomas wasn't good enough there. Oso Digizua wasn't good enough there. Jack Sanborn wasn't good enough there. Oh, look, they tried to guess here. Murray tried to cut up, run under a block. Oh, look, they didn't get a fill from Wilson on this play. It'll be very clear if they're good at run defense or they're poor at run defense this year.
Feels like they're doing a lot of slanting on the defensive line.
They have to. They can't. They're not big enough to stand in their toe to toe with anybody. That's the thing. They have to play on the move. And sometimes the offense will catch you. And if they catch you going inside and they wall you and they push you, then somebody whoever's filling the gap opposite of where you're going to has to step up and make a play. Or you're going to have these huge creases in your defense. You can watch it and see when it happens. I could, 9 times out of 10, when I watch the tape, and it's not because former NFL scout personnel guy, you could honestly with your own eyes see, oh my gosh, look what Leofau did there. You can't, or look what James did. Oh, he ran under the block. He's not supposed to do that. And then all of a sudden it's, the gap just opens up because somebody can't fill two gaps. And then the ball magically runs right through where, Leofau or James or Sanborn or Murray or whoever tried to undercut a block. Or maybe the defensive lineman was supposed to go, maybe Sam Williams was supposed to do this, and he ends up getting washed down inside. And now there's this huge gap, and they'll run the ball there every single time.
All right, you're listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love of the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.